And welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. We have a very special This Week on Channel 9. I'm Dan Fernandez.
Duncan McKenzie.
Mike Sampy Sampson.
And we got a lot of stuff that launched this week, but really the cool part is Channel 9's, the new update of Channel 9. Let's go to the first stuff and just talk about some of our friend products.
Yes, some of the other things launching with us this week.
Yes, because
include
I9
Beta.
Yeah, this is cool.
It is.
Very
cool. It's very cool. And they don't have us
it's actually
in the more beautiful web little thing there, but they wanted to. We weren't there yet. But, you know, they have a lot of cool stuff there, and we like IE9. We're going to show some IE9 Channel 9 features later on. But IE9's cool.
Yeah. So download today. I'm playing with it today. Some cool stuff for developers as well. One thing that I really like is the being able to fake your user agent string.
Yes.
So
developer tools can pick user agent string and watch sites attempt to re-render themselves appropriately. It's awesome.
The other one is that it now has a network monitor.
Yes.
Yes.
So Firebug-ish, if you want to say.
Well,
so,
and the thing is, like, so we love Firebug, we use it all the time, but you need to see developer tools in IE as well, because sometimes, believe it or not, you might hit a bug that's only happening in IE. I know, shocker.
What?
And so at that point, having a developer tool that only works on one isn't so great. So it's nice to be able to have sort of similar features, you know, over in IE9 as well.
Well, and to be fair, most of the bugs I don't know that I've run into in the sites I've been on have been people detecting Internet Explorer and trying to do hacks and fixes.
Bugs with IE9.
With IE9,
yeah. Definitely. When, definitely.
And where if I just, you know, if I change user string to Firefox or do something like that where I can convince the site that, no, I'm somebody else, then suddenly the site works just fine.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the lot of problems I'm into is people kind of expecting bugs in IE that aren't there anymore.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, stop doing that.
The other cool part is, next slide. Windows Phone developer tools.
Yes, also decided to launch with us this week.
Yes.
We a lot of coordination involved.
Should have bumped
there.
It up to 9, because then it could be 999, but that's okay.
All right. Well, that sounds like a great idea.
979 is, we'll take it.
It's okay.
We had Scott Gu and Charlie Kindle in this video, and I think the big thing is you get the final tools, and this is the first release where the Pivot and Panorama tools are available for developers. So you say File New Project, Pivot, and then you get the category, and does all the nice swiping and changing for that. It's kind of like a tab control.
Yes. I actually have really no idea, but it sounds awesome. And I have a Zune HD, so I think I noticed.
Yes, yes. I want my Zune HD to be a phone, so.
There you go.
Let's get on that.
We're going to be set.
Yeah. Download today.
And now, sort of the premiere product.
Yes.
Launching this week.
Channel 9, baby.
Yes.
And, well, by the time this launches, this
you'll
will
be right around us, assuming you're watching it in line. If you're not watching it in line,
open it up.
I don't
next
know what to tell you. But we'll look like we do here on the screen behind us. And that's exciting. Though hopefully the actual videos will be different.
yeah, you want to.
A year.
You want to go into some slides and then go into.
Over a year?
Over a year?
Maybe.
Yeah. A little over a year?
Yeah.
A lot of time. So
but
we're all
right
done
code.
Now.
Yeah. Yes.
So we'll be back for the next version.
Yes.
And,
yes. We'll see you in a year.
Yeah.
Hopefully,
we're
no
pretty
bugs.
Much done. So anyways.
So some of the reasons, and we go back to the survey when we first kicked off that meeting, which was Nishant, Jeff, me, you, and some.
Yes.
This week on Channel 9.
All on a couch.
Yeah. Let's talk about
it's
our
kind
survey.
Kind of uncomfortable.
So there's a lot of stuff around our content that people wanted more and more content, and we're definitely delivering on that. And then to some of the site stuff, the biggest things that they had was stability and reliability of the site, and number two was finding content. So
and performance. Performance was in there.
Yes, you're right. You're right. Performance is absolutely in there.
You're right.
Which brings us to this, and I don't know if you want to talk about this or you want me to talk about this.
Well, so these are basically, we've been doing a series of page load time tests. So we've been testing two different things with pages. So we test many things, but for the purposes of sort of performance, we've been testing page size and page load time. So we have a selection of pages here, the learning, a hands-on lab, the learning home, a certain profile, a contributor's profile, someone like Charles, a tag page, search, all that kind of stuff. And what we have is a bar chart with two extremely close colors. One is kind of a palish flesh tone pink, and one is sort of a darker flesh tone brown. It's almost the same. But anyways, what's nice is for most of them, the new Channel 9 is about half, and this is in seconds, so half is better, about half the old one. So we do see a few that aren't, and there's actually good reasons for that. If we look at video detail, and it says video detail large comments, we got rid of paging on comments for videos. So if you have a video like the Windows Phone 7, was it a Windows Phone 7 announce?
Yeah, it was
first
the
look.
Yes, it was the first look.
We probably learned about panoramic and pivot.
It was the first look video for Windows Phone 7.
140 comments? I'm just really guessing.
Yeah, but over a quarter million views.
So that video normally would have had 14 pages of comments and now has one. So it's going to take a little while to load all that HTML. That's fine. It's to be expected.
And that's what's represented as our large comment case, actually.
And that's, so that one's big. But in general, for most of the cases, it's actually quite a bit smaller. And there's a bunch of reasons for that. The Chrome of Channel 9 V4, as we call it, was actually really heavy, a very Chrome-heavy site. Lots of pictures, a lot less use of typography for the look, a lot more use of graphics. So all of that Chrome adds weight. The other problem, though, instead of just not just the page size, because actually we went up in page size on many of the pages that we're now faster on, if that makes sense, the site itself is just way more responsive. And there's tons of reasons for that, a lot of which are his fault. He's responsible for.
That was me. I'm
we'll
sorry.
Make sure to link to the architecture video where you go through.
And a lot of that comes in also to some of the benefits from Azure in terms of us being able to scale very easily the Memcache middle tier so that we have distributed caching across all of our web nodes versus each web node handling its own, like we did in V4.
And some people may remember that there was a time in the preview where we got a lot of spam, and that's because we had a preview build-up that had some of our spam controls off. Okay. And we got tons and tons of traffic, and the site was starting to slow down, so we just went in and turned up the nodes, and we went from, like, I think, 2 to, like, 6. And then about 10 minutes later, after all the nodes were spun up, the site got responsive again. We didn't change any code. All we did was just turn up the number of nodes. And so
it's a nice little load test. Whoever was sending, you know, I think 9,000 pieces of spam into our system every few minutes, thank you for that. you.
And, for paying for the bandwidth cost so we didn't have
there
to.
You go.
Yeah. And what is nice, though, is when you look at a system and you're trying to determine scale, what you want to know is that it will linearly scale up, sort of thing. Adding another node will actually give you that bump. So if you have 3, you go to 4. You see a 30% increase or whatever. And we actually find that that's pretty much the case. It's not a perfect linear scale. I mean, 100 nodes isn't 100 times faster than one, but it is definitely increasing at a good pace, which means that when we have Windows Phone 7 launch or some big thing that we know is coming, just crank up the knobs a little bit in advance and we'll be doing good. So all sorts of good reasons why we have the improved performance. Of course, if you sit and use the site, I bet you'll be able to find the occasional day when a certain page isn't as fast as you'd like. But on average, the pages are going to be faster. The pages are going to be, you know, more responsive. And definitely, it's going to stay up longer and run into less weird things where I can't log in, I'm getting live ID prompts whenever I do a refresh of a page, all sorts of strange stuff that happens on V4 that we've worked really hard for a year to get away from.
And just to talk about some of the differences, what's been interesting in me in looking at this data is there's a number of fluctuations on the old site where sometimes the search page would be very fast, sometimes it would be 3x as slow. And it was non-deterministic. We weren't changing version 4. We weren't changing the old version. The new version was you know, within, you know, maybe 0.1 of its speed in almost all the different times.
We're more consistent.
Absolutely more consistent, and we're showing more information. So the actual page size is going to be larger, or the actual stuff we're sending over, because, for example, rather than just having a straight on a show page, we normally would just give the list of show, and it was just basically text only. Now we give images, so there's a lot more downloading, but we're actually still performing faster, even with images.
Definitely. And lots more images.
And we still have a list of things we want to do to get it even faster than this. Like, we've got some things we want to do in the future to speed it up, putting things out to different CDNs, that kind of stuff. So there's still, I still want to make it faster.
But yeah. I thought we were done.
Done-ish.
Done-ish. You're never done.
Oh, okay. So.
And the big number is the average speed, 3.51 seconds for a page loaded across all those pages versus an average of 6.13 for the old site.
I like the coffee house home. Went from 10 seconds to just over 2.
Yeah.
That's nice. I know some people like to go to the coffee house.
Yeah.
They will enjoy this.
Yeah.
A lot.
There's a lot of work to make that page fast.
Yeah. That's actually, that was after your architecture video, right?
Yes.
Yes.
That was when I went in and did a bunch of data normalization stuff.
Despite everything else, the page was still slow. So that's when, you know, if you do a lot of this building work yourself, you know, you start to get more intense into denormalization right into the table. You know, last posted date goes right up into the root object and things like that. And then also caching, you start to crank things up a little bit so that there's fewer hits to the actual database. So,
great.
All sorts of stuff. At the same time that we made the improvements around performance, we were talking about stability.
Yeah, yeah.
So stability, there's lots of things to worry about with stability. Azure helps. Just the idea that we have very consistent nodes. Sounds kind of wrong or something, consistent nodes. But it is nice to know that, you know, I deploy the system once, the hardware is going to be the same as when I deploy it the next time. And if I go from 3 nodes to 4, it's the exact same thing that the first 3 are on. It's the consistency allows it, the problems that exist, to then all be in your code. it frees you up from having to worry about the hardware layer, and it lets you focus on the software layer. And towards that end, for the software layer, and I'll...
Oh, sure. So this is the Visual Studio code metrics of the whole site. We can see a whole bunch of projects here. The big ones are controller, model, and view. View you don't see as much because there's not most of the code there is in our Spark files, which don't show up in the Visual Studio code metrics. But if you look at controller, about 7,000 lines of code. You look at the model, about 4,500. And the unit test projects for each of those are about the same number of lines of code. So all told, the website comes out to about 11,000 lines of code, which isn't too bad. We've got 12,050 unit tests. First 500 or so were mine, but then everybody else started partying. Actually, I didn't get to write the 1,000th test. I was hoping it would be me. We were doing 998 for so long. But
I didn't know if there was a contest for that.
I think I would have heard about it, actually. I don't know as much about these other metrics as much. The maintainability index has a little green to it.
We're all green. I don't know what it means,
yeah.
But
green's cool.
Amen.
Cyclomatic complexity, we spent a lot of time on that.
Depth of inheritance.
We did.
That's a good number. 7
as
the highest.
Class coupling. And for those of you in Britain, that sounds dirtier than it is.
It's a lot. Now, I guess we didn't measure V4, but I know it's more code than that.
It is, and there are no tests in V4.
So I know that too.
That is sort of the big difference. Not that this shows the test, but we got the 1250 number, and we also we're not perfect at writing tests. Not all of us, at least. As in, he's perfect, I'm not. But we are getting better at writing. So one of the things I once heard from James Newkirk, who was on CodePlex and wrote the .NET unit testing book and things like that, was someone filed a bug on CodePlex and said, oh, this doesn't work. He's like, awesome, where's the test? They weren't even on the team. And he's like, when someone writes me a test that shows that that's broken, we'll fix it. And he's right. It's an awesome way to do it. And I think a lot of us have done that manually before. You know, when someone says something's broken, you have to make it break first before you fix it. If you just go in and think you fixed it, then you know you don't know what you're doing. But a better way to do it, we write the test. And so I think in the last few days, you've been seeing tons of forum posts on the preview where we've just been like, does this work? And we've been finding lots of problems. And correspondingly, we've been writing a bunch of tests, basically saying, you know, if we post this type of content, run it through this type of filter, it gets broken or not, sort of thing. So the number of tests is just going to be climbing. The actual amount of code might go down as we go on.
I'm excited for MVC3.
Refactor stuff. Yeah, that's actually something Sampy says a lot when we see new features in MVC3.
I get to delete a lot of code.
Yeah, that's the
there's whole classes. I'm like, oh, this will be gone. It'll be great.
Yes. So we get to delete our work, and we love that. Shall we move along?
Yeah. So this is actually the list of suggestions. So we have, I think one of the new things that we've done is set up the Connect site. So Connect has ways to give feedback in two ways. One is suggestions, like, I really think you should do this. Another is bugs. So we're going to start with the suggestions first. First one is ZippyV actually said video preview image should be in the JPEG format. And this is primarily around performance. Right. So you guys want to talk about this one?
Well, you actually notice it more on the new site than on the old, because the number of preview images per page is much higher. Take the home page where we have the three rotating featured items, or catbird items, as Charles likes to call them. We had to look up in Wikipedia as to why he called them cat programs, but it actually is very interesting. Anyways, it has 3 512 by 384 images. They're very big. And when they're PNGs, they're bigger than they need to be, because most of the time they are kind of photographic.
They're majority
of people,
photos,
that kind of stuff, in which case JPEG does a great job. If they were all screen captures, you know, PNG might be better, but they're not. And even if they were screen captures, they're scaled down. So JPEG's great. ZPV, who always seems kind of mad because he looks like that villain from Incredibles. But he had a great, you know, suggestion there. And so we actually gave it a shot. First, we added the Opti PNG crushing tool that takes the PNGs and makes them about half the size. And then we did the JPEGs and we were comparing. And even then, it was still maybe 1/8 the size. So the JPEGs were much, much smaller. And when you have like the three big ones on the homepage and then 18, 21, 100 by 75 images with all the recent items and most highly rated and all that kind of stuff, all of those images being, you know, 1/8 the size really knocks down the size of the page. So a lot of our stats back in the load time don't actually take that into account, because what we did is we changed the encoding tool to produce JPEGs as it goes forward. We didn't go back and re-encode, you know, every one of the 46 Silverlight TV episodes. So a lot of those stats still show PNGs, but they'll just be getting better all the time as we go to JPEGs across the board.
Yeah. So that's definitely a cool one. Another one, Brian Henderson. Number of times an item is rated should be displayed below the rating graphic.
Brian Henderson, the person who we can't find.
Yes,
on the site.
Which is another bug, which is still active.
Brian, we're sorry. You said you couldn't log in with your existing credentials. We have no Brian Henderson user. It does not exist
in the old site.
We were in the database. We looked at all the Hendersons. There's no Brian Henderson.
There's several Hendersons. No Brian.
No Brian Henderson. So we should talk.
Yes.
Something. But yeah. Anyway, so what Brian wanted in this case, in addition to not being able to log in, is that when we show a rating, and this, we sort of always knew this. We just needed someone to push us to actually get around to doing it. When you show a rating, it says 5 stars. You need to know, is that one person? Is it Charles that rated it 5 stars, or was it 500 people? Because it's still 5 stars, but, you know, obviously you've been to Amazon and things like that. It matters.
Yeah.
So now next to the ratings, we show a little number.
Well, and we should also explain our highest rated algorithm, because sometimes, because you can look at the highest rating, you'll see something that's rated 4 stars, something rated 5 stars, and you're like, hey, that's out of order. Well, the algorithm's a little different if you want to.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's me as well. It's kind of a strange thing, is that when you want to view the highest rated, is that what we call it, the highest rated?
Top rated
content. The top rated content, you could just sort by the average rating. The problem with that is something that had 500 five stars and 1 4 star has like a 4.9, you know, 8 rating. And it would be below something with 1 5 star rating. And that's messed up, because obviously the one with the 499 five stars is obviously a higher rated. Yeah, so what we do instead is we have just a little formula in there where we take the number of stars,
number of votes,
-3 times 2, and then that's summed up or something. So a 5-star rating is worth 2. So every 5-star rating adds to the sum.
A 5 is worth +2.
Why don't you guys do a post on this?
And a 0 -1 -2.
The end result is that what you'll see when you're viewing the highest rated, and we actually got some bugs filed on this because it does look kind of odd. You'll see one that has 5 stars, and then one below it with a 4-star average, or reversed around. You'll see a 5-star one below one that has a 4-star average, and the reason is it has a 4-star average, but it had, you know, 800 votes or something, versus the 5-star had 3. So the math works out, and it's kind of arbitrary. I mean, there's no way to say exactly what that weighting should be. Maybe a 5-star should be worth 4, not 2. And maybe a 1 should be worth -4. We could play with it, sort of thing. But what we found is when we switched it to this versus a straight average, the videos that showed up on top make sense. They're the ones that people seem to really like. So that's kind of what we're going for. So it's special.
Kara was working on this one, the running time. Adam Kane did this, and the idea was when you're looking at a series of videos, you do a search for browse. I just want to be able to see, like, quickly glance whether it's a 5-minute video or not, because if it's an hour-long video, I'm just not going to have time, and I can go to the next Silverlight video or the next, you know, MVC video. So I think she just did a quick screenshot. It basically does something on the transparency of the image. Is that right?
It's just a little black bar across the bottom that just puts the running time in there. It's not.
Is that on JavaScript side, or it's not in the image, right?
No. It's just HTML.
It's a div.
Okay.
It's a div.
On top of the
image. Span. Or span.
It's something HTML-y. Yeah, and we had that before on, like, the catbird seat. And the difference being in what this bug said was that when I'm searching and browsing and looking at all these lists and viewing the Silverlight tag or whatever, I want to see it there. And so now it's everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't think it's on the small images on like the homepage.
You know, yeah, you won't see it in the little tiny thumbnails like you get in a sidebar or an entry or on the homepage, the homepaged section.
Yeah, but on all of the episodes of a show will have it. The tag pages will have it. The most recent content page has it. So any of the they're 220 by 165. Any of those sort of larger box images have it on it. So it should help. A follow-up probably, and someone could file this as a suggestion if they want, would be like if people really do want to I only have 5 minutes.
Wouldn't it be cool to browse by length, duration?
Or to be able to put it into a search term and say like less than 5 minutes. You'd knock out every Charles video. But
You could say
greater than 45 minutes if you really wanted to.
You get every Charles
video. I have an hour, and I really need to see something
there
on
you
STL.
You're going to make this video an hour. Okay. Language support. So
you
three
spelled
bugs.
Wrong.
No, actually, this is how they spelled it, so I went with their spelling.
Wow.
Langage is how they went with it. So
yes.
I'm all about Langage. Make English the default language, and then tag system for language-specific filtering. So one of these was actually filed by me, the other by Carl Searle and Spotted Man 2. So maybe we should just show a demo of this a little in a couple seconds,
okay.
which I think we get to. And the next page is, I think, bug features. So if you go through our bugs, what we did is fixed every bug that had at least three ratings or higher than three votes up. There was one by Zippy V that had three votes up that is currently the most, and highest one we didn't implement has three votes, and it's basically that it's too faint. Mm-hmm. And I think that's more of a suggestion than a bug.
Oh, the red on red circle.
Yes, it's too faint. And there's a number of questions there, but if you go through, you'll see how many bugs we fixed. So this is really a testament to you all for opening so many bugs and going through and finding really, really good bugs. In fact, I probably have to go back and close another five that we've now implemented on the preview site. So go through, you can actually do, and when you click more, you can do a sort by close, active. And we're going to be closing some that we can't fix. So mm-hmm. You know, we've talked about some of these. We can't fix Silverlight. Somebody opened a bug that
not that Silverlight's broken, but
somebody wanted us to add double speed in Silverlight, and you know, Sambi doesn't have the time. And somebody else had a problem installing IE9.
Really?
And they filed a bug. Yeah.
On Channel 9.
Yeah. I don't exactly.
Well, we could say fixed.
They shouldn't have stole our number
because we probably have a link to it in like one of the IE9 videos.
Yeah, here's
a
link.
We could put a link in a comment, and the market is fixed.
Sure. Just to increase our fix count, is that what the nice game there?
Well, I don't want to be rude and say won't fix.
So, again, I'm sure somebody's going to find some bugs once we go live.
Oh, yeah.
Always find this. Putting these bugs in, putting these suggestions in really do help us understand what's going on with the site, what the issues are.
So we really
appreciate everyone's comments.
We left the feedback link in the live site. So that was there on preview, and a little feedback link that took you to the Connect site. That's still there. We obviously do have the feedback forum. This gives a much more trackable way versus maybe if you want to just discuss, like I'm seeing this problem, you know, and other people could say they're seeing it too. This gives an actual system where you can, you know if we fix it, people can vote it. The voting is great, I think, because especially if it's a suggestion, we're going to jump on suggestions that get a lot of votes.
Yeah, I've been surprised by a lot of the other cool thing is sometimes there are you see conversations going on with these bugs. Like, I'm voting this down because I really don't think this is a good idea. Or, you know what, I really like the design of this. And it's good to have people having that conversation mm-hmm. about, like, hey, what is the right implementation for language feature or whatever it happens
and
to be.
And one of the benefits of us being in Windows Azure is it's a lot easier for us to push up a new build when we've got fixes.
Yes.
We can put up in staging, we can test a little bit and swap it in, and it should kind of seamlessly mm-hmm. transition everyone over to the new build with no downtime, and everything should work nice and smooth.
We've been pushing out builds while people are testing it, while even the test team's actively on it. We still swap in a new build, and it works great, so we're happy with that. Whereas in the past, as I've said on the forums many times, deploying is scary. And if we deployed the old Channel 9, we we could take it down for 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. So because of that, we were a little afraid. So if we did a small fix, a CSS change or something like that, it was sometimes easier not to do it. And we don't have that now. So we will be making ongoing changes, looking at this place all the time, but we also have our own list of, you know, forward-looking features that we're going to be building, and we'll be pushing stuff up. So
cool. All right, so we get into some...
Let's
get into some demos.
Hey, okay.
Quick demos. So what are we going to demo?
Well, so I right-click to... Oh, look! Channel 9 is pinned to the taskbar.
Oh!
And when you're pinned to the taskbar, you can get, you know, to the coffee house or to the browse all content or the list of shows.
Go.
There were other stuff there. There was other stuff there. There was This Week on Channel 9, but...
And Ping.
But the rest of... Well,
you can say Charles.
Charles didn't like it. We didn't have Going Deep there. And he's like, you know, really, I won't say what he said, but...
How dare you?
But the point being is, like, why This Week on Channel 9? What? And it... You can have five items, so I picked some.
No, is there... I thought there was the ability to add dynamics
there
stuff as well.
There is, the JavaScript. And actually, we commented this out for right now, because we're trying to figure out how best to use the IE9 features. It's new to us, too, so... for a while, Joff had written code where the top three featured items, the catbird seat...
And Joff is a developer on the team, in case
we... Joff, and he's our JavaScript jQuery dude. And everything else. We're all kind of working on everything. Anyways, he had added so the featured items were there. So no matter what page of the site you were on, or even if you didn't have it open, you could right-click and go right to... I'll jump back over to the site here. You could go right to Endpoint TV Unit Testing Workflows.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. There's more you can do. You could do notifications. You could have it actually change the icon when someone's replied to a thread that you're watching. There's cool things we can do. Instead of just sort of throwing a bunch of stuff in there, we decided to stop at some sort of main navigation elements like we have now. And then we're going to think about it. We're going to plan out how we want to use these cool features. And then we'll roll them out. So
if you have suggestions, put them in the suggestions and connect.
And someone who, what was this suggestion with the menu element and HTML5 and?
Oh yeah, that was.
Okay.
That's a whole thing.
Yeah, there's some debate about ways to do this differently than using meta tags and stuff, but we won't get into that. So, what are we gonna look at?
Why don't we go into that browse area?
Ooh, and we're an admin. We're going to see the top secret admin buttons.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, language. What's that?
So look, there's a language dropdown.
Ooh.
So the language dropdown is in response to about a year of feedback. it is. So starting maybe a year and a half ago or something, the amount of international contributions to Channel 9 spiked like crazy. The number of videos being encoded went from, you know, 40 a week to being 200 a week. And a lot of that is due to people from around the world at Microsoft producing great content. But if you don't speak the language the video's in, it ends up being somewhat like noise. So if you go to the recent tab on the old Channel 9, on a given day, there could be three or four videos in a language that you don't understand. And people would file a bug that they didn't want to see that. Other people would file a bug saying, I want to see just that. I want to be able to, let's say, go to a list of videos in Spanish and only videos in Spanish. And so we actually, once again, kind of like the IE9, we sat back and tried to think of a good way to do this that wouldn't be just a hack, so that you could you know, see the videos you want, but not lose the ability to see, you know, sort of the main videos that the site publishes all the time, the bread and butter, you know, big videos that Dan's team publishes This Week in Channel 9. And so a lot of work was done there. Do you want to explain the whole fallback mechanism?
Oh, sure. So... if you're anonymous and you come to the site, we'll show you by default videos in English and in all the accept languages that you send us. We don't just take the first one, we'll take all of them.
Which is a browser setting.
Which is a browser setting. So if you set your browser to accept, you know, say you live in Belgium and you accept like Belgian, German, and French, then we will show you those. That will be kind of the default.
Good for you, by the way.
Yeah, there you go.
Take all those.
We'll use this filter on browse pages, and we'll use it whenever you're on an actual entry like you are right now. If you look on the side, there'll be some stuff. But whenever we show you related videos, we will use this filter. And so that's if you're anonymous. We'll use that in your accept languages. If you're on this page, you can also pull up this UI, anonymous or logged in, and customize it. You check some different languages, uncheck English, whatever you want. You hit apply changes. And if you, it's actually in the query string up at the top. And so now we'll show you everything just in Spanish. We don't do, except for
lang
Chinese.
Lang equals ES, right?
Yeah, lang equals ES. And so if you give us a query string, we will abide the query string, and that's what we'll use no matter what. And so that's for an anonymous user. If you were signed in, then...
So say I'm an expat in Japan. I really don't want to see Japanese content. I can't actually read Japanese characters. Maybe I have a couple of... I want to see English content, but my browser is maybe sending that stuff in.
Yeah.
So how do I choose that stuff as a logged-in user?
Right. So if you're a logged-in user, until you go set this in your profile, you'll get the same anonymous behavior by default. So unless you've gone to your profile and tweaked this stuff, you'll get the same behavior with accept languages. However, if you want, you can go to manage languages, which you can get to by... It takes you to the edit profile page. You can also go to your profile and click edit. Then we have the same dropdown, and you get English plus whatever you want to pick. And so you pick a bunch of different languages. We'll add those into your list. And so say he wants to see those three, very, very European set there.
Yep.
You hit save, and then now that will be your new default whenever you're logged in. So if he went back to the browse page...
Yeah. So you're not going to see it unless there was videos in those languages that were very recent. You're still going to see English posts at that point because the language set in your profile is additive.
So English is always included, and then the other ones.
Yep. And if you actually, if you pull on the drop-down, you'll see that...
Oh. Yes.
We'll both pick them up within the drop-down. Now, you can still make your own custom filter. Mm-hmm. The query string will work. So for an RSS feed, if you want an RSS feed with different languages in it, use the query string to put them on there. You can actually use this drop-down to build your own custom page, and we'll actually change the RSS links on the page to respect the languages you picked in the drop-down. And so if you want to subscribe to just Spanish videos or just German videos, you can do it by just putting the language on there. And this, anytime you see this drop-down, we'll use it. The only time you can't see the drop-down that it'll get used is if you're on a permalink page, so you're actually on a single video, there's that related. We'll filter those based on your language preferences too. So if, you know, there's someone uploads 30 Japanese Silverlight videos and you're on an English Silverlight video, those will get filtered out before we display them. And it's all done with an MVC filter attribute that we just throw on there, and it just it just works. It's like magic.
I think the best part about these demos is watching sweat roll down Duncan's face to see whether it's actually going to work or not.
So as I click each button and I'm like, so this worked the last 20 times. Will it work this time? Yeah, I hate
that. That was great.
Yeah, there's at least we don't have Wi-Fi worries or something here, but like
we kind of do.
Okay.
So I think the only other things, if you guys want to talk about your favorite features, I'll talk about mine. Mine is actually the ability when you're on the homepage and you click view, that the video is going to continue.
Oh yes.
And yet we had more than one bug saying stop doing that. And then we had other bugs saying voting that down, and people saying that was cool. So there's always going to be a mixed opinion about lots of these things. But
and I think the other thing is being able to do jump to time code. Which is certainly handy for me, so I can actually do things like tag. I could technically tag this video, so somebody could just jump to this particular second right now.
You should put a link in. This is what I was saying this second right now.
Exactly.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. So I don't know. As far as favorite features, it's been a year.
It's been a year.
My favorite feature is that we're shipping it.
It's gonna
awesome.
Be mine.
Ship is a really?
No, it's fine.
Shipping's a feature.
Quality and performance are features too.
No, there are so many. The I actually just like the homepage a lot. I look at it a fair bit. I like this idea of being able to, track sort of the most recently popular videos without having to go do a query in the database. And I think that's really cool. I actually do also like we brought in Twitter. So there's a lot of things about the homepage that I like.
And the cool stuff, like getting, more interesting stories on just cool stuff that we hit. Like, Sabi was just talking about a really cool PC robot machine that I want to know more about.
Yes, yeah. The Voltron machine, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll send you a link.
Yeah, but, that should be on cool stuff.
There you go. But I think I like how simple and easy the code base is to get around in. I mean, it's something you guys will never see, but it's when something goes wrong, it's really easy to kind of pinpoint. Never say never. Oh, geez. let me clean it up first. But it's lots of small pieces that have simple jobs, but combine to form something great, which I think is it's a poetic statement about Microsoft in general. But anyway, that's the whole point, is that it's a lot of, every class is small, it has a very specific job, and then they're composed together to accomplish large tasks. And it makes it very easy when we need to tweak something or what's going wrong here. Like we were fixing a performance problem in the forums where you make a new thread and it would time out and take forever. And by just kind of, we could isolate very quickly, like, okay, here are here's the one place where we touched that, and then it ended up that we were loading the whole coffee house into memory. Oops. Every time, yeah, but whatever.
One line. Take rid of one line, and it all...
Yeah, so lazy loading better. Is your friend until it's not.
It's a good one.
But, yeah.
Okay, and, all right, so there's certainly a lot of features, and we'll link back to some of the new stuff. But the only one that I think a lot of people are really going to appreciate is the being able to full screen on multiple screens. So yes. In the Silverlight player, where I can just throw something on a screen and just have it running.
We spent a lot of time on that feature.
Yeah, I think there was one line or two, but it is cool. And that was Clint.
Clint, who's not
here. But and a lot of this stuff is Joff and Kara, who aren't here either. But yeah. You know, they wanted to be, but we wouldn't let them. So
we didn't have enough couches.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's what it was.
They'd have to sit on.
All right, so let's go to Picks of the Week. Picks of the Week.
That should be the song. You should record that.
It's just me going Picks of the Week. Picks of the Week. So now with the Windows Phone RTM, the big thing is CouldnFund did a wrap up, and really this was Clint on a number of controls and resources. So one of the things is that there's no date picker, for example, or time picker. And if you've played with the Windows Phone, it has a really nice combo box for time where you can sort of scroll up and down. Somebody's built that control for you, so you don't have to recreate a list box, combo box. Just pick up their control and do it. Being able to do a swipe tile, being able to do a wheel control. There's a lot of really, really cool controls out there that you should check out. I was trying to think of what the other one was. Another one that a lot of people don't know is how to pass data between pages, especially when you have something like a pivot control where each thing is within a page. How do I basically set pass context between them so that I'm playing with the navigation, I click back, and I can actually get that stuff out. So if you're starting with Windows Phone, definitely check that link out.
I will. And my pick of the week is Halo Reach. We're pointing at the guy, Jetpack, looks like a Spartan, landing in London. But the game itself... is cool. I mean, so
Jetpack is cool.
The jetpack's cool. The real jetpack's cool. The jetpack in the game is cool, and then the attacking, the backstabbing in midair. It's awesome. But anyways, what's cool about it, and I'm actually kind of stunned by this, I don't have this stat offhand, but yesterday, first day Reach was out, they exceeded the peak number that Halo 3 ever had for people online playing. Halo 3 was huge. Halo 3 was huge, and Reach... I gotta say, I love Reach. I figured to the world it was gonna be like, oh yeah, another Halo game, because they changed a lot, but still, I didn't realize that people
Huge.
Are freaking out. And as is my son, oddly enough, he's upset at me that I didn't stand in line to get it, but I'm busy shipping a website. And so
he disappointed his son for you people.
Yeah.
But I did get Stampy's pick of the week for him, so
we'll
move along.
So
which is?
My pick of the week is the Dungeons & Dragons Red Box, which if you're old, or like me, and you know, someone's parents had it.
Like me, too,
I was given this at Christmas when I was a kid. So the old
I wasn't.
We came out in the '70s. I did not come out in the '70s. But I came out in the '80s. So this came out. It technically comes out on Tuesday, but if you went to PAX or you go to any Wizards like Premier Game Store where they can sell the stuff early, like I do. You can get it early. It's kind of an homage to the original Redbox. It's got a lot of people started in D&D. It's $15. It is amazingly cool. You play through a little solo adventure to make a character. You get a couple of your friends together and you play. I've always started buying the books for the rest of it and stuff, even though I have all the normal D&D books. I give these people a lot of my money. It's awesome.
Does Paulo work there now?
Paolo M works there now.
Oh, nice. That's
yes,
right.
He does. Yes,
Wizards
he does.
Of the Coast?
Yeah. Yes, he does.
Okay.
Yep. And
hi, Paolo.
Hey. Give me some free stuff, because I'm tired of spending all this money.
And look, he talked about it.
So it's really cool. If you've never played D&D before, this is an excellent way to get started. It's got everything you need in the box. It's got dice, a map, it's got counters, character sheets, all the rules, everything you need, and it's a ton of fun. I ran it at PAX, the Penny Arcade Expo, for some friends of mine from World of Warcraft, because I needed to be super nerdy all at once. And
at PAX, with your World of Warcraft guild,
yes.
Playing D&D.
Yes.
So the geek hat trick.
So I win.
Sounds like some sort of Clue like hell.
Yeah, you go. Someone has a bingo card somewhere for like nerdiness. And I just...
win!
They just, you know, they threw their hands up, and they win I don't know what you win at bingo.
Well, it's Nerd Bingo, so they probably win a red box.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
I was given this box by my grandmother when I was a kid.
It's the same art and
it's the
same
logo. I was given this. It, you know, it's a different box because I don't know where that one went. But this one, and I'm blown away. So I picked it up as well because Sampy came and told me about it.
This
and
looks very cool.
It's very awesome. And it's sitting on my kitchen table.
I'll bring a DVD game to the Channel 9 team. We'll film it. That all we should totally do that.
Lightning wow. Bolt. Lightning Bolt.
Oh yeah. Laurentina, Roland playing D&D.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Sounds like it's going to be like 3 hours on
this
video.
This is like Sampy wanting his cosplay to happen. Okay.
Okay.
On that note, thank you all.
We're done.
And we're officially done with This Week on Channel 9. Give us feedback on the site. And kudos to our awesome team and Karen Joff, who can't be there as well.
Yep. Keep pushing feedback in as you have it. It'd be awesome.
Thanks.